Well, this evening we are going to the book of James, James chapter number 3, because we finished off the chapter this morning of Acts 2. We won't start chapter 3 tonight, but there is a connection to the book of Acts in our message this evening. But let's begin in James chapter number 3. Let's read verses 5 and 6 and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. James chapter number 3, and follow me as I read verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, naturally we do not see things as you do, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord, because of your love for us, because of your holiness, Lord, we have the precious possession of your word to bring light in a dark place, to shed light, Lord, upon our lives and to show us, Lord, the way in which we should walk. And Father, we pray that as a church we would be ones that would be willing to grow in our use of our tongues. And Lord, we so desire that blessing would come from our mouths, that the gospel would go forth with power, as we've seen in the book of Acts. But Lord, there is a danger, and your word warns us that our tongues may be used for great evil. So we do pray, Father, that you would help us to grow this evening. Lord, we pray that you would touch each of our lives in a special way, Lord, so that we may go from this place with a determined commitment, Lord, to honour you with everything we say and everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week in the book of Acts, chapter 2, we enjoyed witnessing the entrance of the Spirit of God into the world. And we remember that in Acts chapter 2, as the believers gathered in the upper room, God gave these believers some special signs that the Holy Spirit had indeed come. First, there was the sign of a mighty rushing wind, the sound of the wind. And then there were flames upon each of the believer that did not burn. And of course, those signs indicated the divine presence of God. The person of the Holy Spirit of God had entered the world as Christ Jesus had promised. And then we learned about the special shape of those flames. And they were in a shape of a tongue. Cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them. And we remember that those tongues of fire symbolized the powerful witness of the Holy Spirit that would come through the life of the believer. And we were reminded that when God saved us, he sealed us with the Holy Spirit of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives us boldness to speak up for the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us wisdom to speak up for the Lord. He's the one that gives us grace to speak words that honour the Lord. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, when we get there later in the month, next month, we'll see that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. God's people experienced continual fillings, not continual baptisms of the Holy Spirit, but they were filled with the Spirit of God. They were yielded to his presence, and as a result, they spake the word of God with boldness. You see, God wants us to be set on fire by his power, to use our tongues to bless and to praise God, to witness the gospel and to declare the wonderful news of Jesus Christ. And we remember these early believers in Acts chapter 2, they were literally set on fire for heaven. Amen. Now, we're not talking about the gift of tongues that is past. Now, we're talking about the witness of the Christian, the wonderful joy of the filling of the Holy Spirit to be used of God to declare words that honour the Lord. What a wonderful privilege we have. The Bible says, "For ye are ambassadors for Christ." Amen. We stand upon the earth to speak the wonderful mysteries of the Word of God and the glory of Christ. But there's another lesson to be learned from what we looked at and the book of Acts. And here is the other side of the coin, if you will. Acts chapter 2, we see believers set on fire for heaven that use their tongue for God's glory. But here in the book of James chapter 3, we see likewise our tongue can be set on fire, but not for God's glory at all. Would you agree? The Bible says, in fact, in verse number 6 at the end, that our tongue can be set on fire of, what's the next word?
Hell.
Now that's a serious statement, wouldn't you agree? Our tongues can be either used for God's glory, or they can be used for the devil's glory. Our tongues can be used for great good for the Lord, but they can also be used for great harm and great evil. Now remember, the book of James was written to believers. And God has some words of wisdom. In fact, as you know, the book of James is what we might call the New Testament book of Proverbs. And it speaks words of wisdom for us. And as you know, the book of Proverbs has a lot of things to say about our tongues. Now, put your seatbelts on, because our tongue is a sensitive issue, isn't it? Not just physically, but spiritually. As Christians, we've all said things that we shouldn't have. Would you agree? We've all said things that we wish we didn't. And God wants us to learn from them. Now, you remember the Apostle Peter, just to make you feel a little bit better. We're all the same, all made of the same stuff. We all have potential as believers to be used of God. And so did the Apostle Peter. Do you remember how the Lord asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets." And then the Lord pointedly asked the question, but whom do ye believe that I am? And there you can see Simon Peter. Suddenly, he didn't have his foot in his mouth, did he? He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it's almost as if his words caught him off guard. And the Lord told him why he spoke those words, because they were from God. They were from heaven. As a believer, his tongue was set on fire from heaven, if you will. God gave him the words to speak, and he spoke the truth. "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God." So his tongue was used for great glory and great blessing for the Lord. Amen. Wonderful testimony. And then on the other side, we see Simon Peter in the flesh. Simon Peter in the flesh. We see how when the Lord Jesus Christ, not long after, said that he would go to the cross and he would be crucified, Peter said, "No, not so, Lord. Lord, that's not going to happen. You can't do that." And what did the Lord say? "Get thee behind me, Satan." Wow. You see, Peter's tongue at that instance was set on fire from hell. It wasn't words that God put in his mouth. It was words from our sinful flesh. It was words from the sinful nature, preventing Christ from going to the cross. And the Lord had to rebuke Peter with the greatest and sharpest rebuke that any of the disciples ever received. But thank the Lord, Peter was willing to receive that rebuke. Thank the Lord, he was willing to be changed by God. You know, Peter was clay in the hands of the Lord, and he shaped at him and molded him. And then we see Peter in Acts. Amen. His tongue was set on fire for God. And Peter learnt to receive rebuke. So any rebuke we receive from the Lord is for our good and benefit. Amen. So that we may grow in this area. So let me encourage you to open your heart as we look at this message. And here's the question. Is our tongue set on fire from heaven or from hell? How are we using our tongue? Well, tonight we're going to look at three ways our tongues are set on fire from hell and how we can avoid these flames of destruction. Amen. Well, let's go to the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Let's turn first of all to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter number 26. Proverbs chapter 26. Notice with me verse number 20. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Let's read this verse aloud onto, shall we? Proverbs 26, reading out loud together. 1, 2. "Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." Now, first of all, we're going to learn about this flame of destruction. The Bible says, "Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. Notice what it says next. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Now, when we think of the talebearer, we think of someone that tells tales, lies. Now, that's part of it, but that's not the whole meaning of the word. The word talebearer means someone who slanders another person behind their back, someone who whispers behind their back. Yes, it does include lying, but more specifically, God is speaking about the person who uses their tongue for evil to speak about another. That is more clearly known as what we call gossiping. That's whom God is speaking about in verse number 20. Where there is no, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Now the gossip is one who gets involved in other people's business that is not their own. And then when they find something out, they take that and they spread it, but not openly and publicly. They whisper behind other people's backs. They take that issue that has nothing to do with them and they stir up strife. And friends, a tongue that is set on fire from hell is a gossiping tongue. Now, we may not like to hear that, but that is the truth. You see, in God's economy, it's black or white. Either we are using our tongues for the glory of God, or our tongue is used for great evil and destruction. The flames of gossiping. Why is gossiping so destructive? Well, notice in Proverbs 26, verse 22. Gossiping causes deep, deep hurts and wounds. Proverbs 26, verse 22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Notice this. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Do you realize just that just a few words from this little member in our mouth can cause great destruction? Little words can hurt a person so deeply, can wound them so greatly, that it goes down into the very depth of their inner being. That's what the Bible tells us. You see, the way we use our tongues is not a little matter, brethren. And we need to guard our tongues if we are going to be righteous and see fruit for the glory of God. And to be used of God, like Peter of old, to preach the gospel. We need to understand the danger of our tongues. Just a few words. James says that, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Just a little fire, just a little spark can cause great destruction. Notice Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. Not only does gossiping deeply wound others, but gossiping destroys relationships. Proverbs 16, verse 28. The Bible says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer, notice this, separateth cheap friends. Now, if you want to know a surefire way to ruin a good friendship, a close friendship, cheap friends, that's what the Bible says. What a shocking reality. But it is a present reality. If you and I don't guard our tongues, we can destroy every friendship we have. We can destroy friendship with our family, our blood relatives. We can destroy friendship and fellowship with the brethren in the church. The Bible says that the tongue separateth chief friends. A whisperer, a whispering tongue, gossiping, destroys relationship. One commentator said this, that more trouble in the church has been caused by a gossip and a loose tongue more than any other thing. And I believe that is true. A tongue set on fire from hell will divide the brethren. Now remember in the book of Acts, 12 times this phrase is used, and they were with one accord. One accord. Why did these believers experience God's power? Because there was unity in their church. Amen. It was 120 of them. They were praying, but they were unified. They weren't blaming Peter for denying the Lord. Amen. They weren't blaming the apostles for abandoning God. Mary didn't get up in arms because they all abandoned the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? No, not at all. There was forgiveness among the brethren. There was grace among the brethren. They were willing to put aside their foolishness for the sake of the gospel. Gossiping is very, very tempting, especially when you hear something that you should not hear. Is that right? There's almost an addiction to tell someone else. Can we be honest this morning, this evening? That desire to spread that news, that desire to tell someone else, is not from God. That is from our sinful flesh. That is from the pit of hell, if you will. That yearning, that hungering, just to spread the news. Now, we won't spread the news to the person that's involved, will we? We'll whisper behind their backs and tell someone else. We might even say, hey, maybe you can help in this situation. Let me tell you what happened. I can't wait to tell you. Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? Did you hear what happened to them? I just found out. Friends, that is a gossiping tongue. And the Bible tells us very clearly that it wounds deeply a gossiping tongue and destroys relationship. A gossiper is like a burning fire that crave more and more gossip. Now, what's the solution? What is the solution to this sinful attraction to gossiping? We all have a sinful flesh, but we don't have to obey the flesh. Amen? The Bible tells us if you are filled with the Spirit of God, then we are filled with His power and we can say no to that temptation. Notice Proverbs 26, back in chapter 26 and verse 20. We read the solution already. Let's look at it together. The Bible says, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So, brethren, there is the solution. Amen? If we don't want our tongue to be set on fire from hell, then don't add any wood to the fire.
Amen?
Amen? Is that right?
Right?
Don't add any more fuel to the fire by spreading that gossiping, by passing it on to someone else. Let it end with you. Amen? Don't throw any more logs on the fire, because the more wood you throw on the fire, what will happen? Speak to me tonight. Those flames will get stronger and more destructive. But if you want a wood, like a campfire, for example, teenagers, remember camp? If you want that campfire to die down and you don't want it to burn anymore, what do you do?
Nothing.
That's right. You don't add any more fuel. You don't continue to add logs of gossip to the fire. And brethren, we need to stop gossiping. We need to see what we do with our tongues as serious, as deadly, as friendship ending, as testimony ruining, as church destructing. That's what our tongues can do if we are not careful. Now, in the church, from time to time, we're going to rub one another the wrong way. God doesn't say that in the church, everyone will get along 100% of the time. Absolutely not. How do we know? Well, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be back in the book of Proverbs. Thank you for turning there. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 to 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 to 32. Now, here is what we are to resist the temptation of. We are to put away if these characteristics are present in our life. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Notice verse 32. And being kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, if we are commanded as brethren to forgive one another, then that would mean that there will be times where we will hurt one another. We will say something that we shouldn't. We will offend with our tongue. We will need to seek forgiveness or to be forgiven. That's part of any church. That's part of any church family. Why? Because we are in a spiritual battle for the Lord. And God is working in each of our lives and He wants to change us. He wants to help us to grow. And in order to help us to grow, well, just as Peter was forgiven by the Lord and was changed by God, we need to forgive one another. We need to work out our differences with the one that has been offended and the one that has offended another. But what God does not want is that issue to be gossiped about, to be spread abroad. Hey, what was that? What was going on? What did so-and-so say? Why do we need to know? Why do we need to know? Is it the Spirit of God yearning and calling us to help as an angelic messenger in this strife that has occurred? Or is it our sinful flesh that we so often give into and think nothing about? And yet we are part of ruining what so often is a small issue. And then gossip, what does it do? Blows it out into a huge issue. And you see, God wants us to forgive one another. He wants us to love one another as Christ has loved us. He doesn't want us to get people on our side. See, if you've been offended, you need to go to the one who's offended you. And in a Christ-like manner, let them know face to face as soon as possible. The Lord doesn't want you to get people on your side and say, do you know what that so-and-so did to me? Do you realize what they did to me and how much it hurts? Friends, we are to forgive one another. And part of that is you and I as Christians not tolerating gossip. We don't tolerate gossip here at Coastline Baptist Church. It's in the Constitution somewhere. I'll find it for you if you ask. We don't tolerate gossip at Coastline Baptist Church. And if we want to be used of God to be witnesses, all right, and we can't control our tongues, then let's stop the door-knocking ministry right now. Do you know what people hate most of all when they come into a new church? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Praising God with our tongues. And then afterwards, what do they hear? On the outside. After the singing is ended. The Bible tells us, brethren, blessing and cursing coming out of our mouths, or not to be so. The flames of gossiping. The flames of gossiping. You know, there's something much better that God has given us tongues for. And that is for blessing, not cursing. Amen? Now, there will be issues we have to sort out. Absolutely. But gossip should have nothing to do with it. And if we use our tongue for anything, it should be to bless and to praise God. It ought to be used for the proclamation of the gospel. It ought to be used to exhort one another as we see the day approaching. Now, that doesn't mean not telling the truth. Okay? That doesn't mean not declaring the word of God. But we are to have our lips salted with grace. We are to love one another and forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let me encourage you to beware of the flames of gossiping. Would you agree? The flames of gossiping. There's wisdom for us. Don't be a fire starter, be a firefighter. Amen? If you want to fight the flames of gossiping, next time a gossip comes to you and wants to share something with you, after they let you know what that is, tell them, why don't we go to the person involved and let's see if that's true together. Let me challenge you, church family. Take that person who's spreading some gossip and say, let's go to that person right now. Let's tell them right now. And let's find out if this is really true. Because most of the time, Chinese whispers that's what the phrase is used for, that changes words over time. And suddenly, what we're told is not the truth at all. What we're told is a lie. Gossiping is destruction. Let's be a firefighter, not a fire lighter. Amen. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. Praise God. We can stop the flames of gossip. All right, are you still with me tonight? It's gone awfully quiet. Must just be the evening service. Proverbs 26, verse 21. Thank you for turning there. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 21. Notice with me another flame to beware of. The Bible says in Proverbs 26, verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and as wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. A contentious man. Here we see the flames of contention. The flames of contention. The contentious man is someone that's always looking to start an argument. They're not having a discussion with you. They're asking a question in order to start a problem. To start an argument. And it comes from an angry heart. A contentious heart. And the Bible says, Just like coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Contention will ultimately lead to a much bigger problem. Strife. More problems. More contentious. People who are angry and allow anger to continue in their hearts will use words to pull down others, will use words to cut others, hurtful words that are meant to offend. And those contentions fuel the flames of destruction. Now here in verse 21, the Bible tells us that if you add more coals to burning coals, what will happen? Naturally, what will happen if you add more coals to burning coals? We've answered that question already, haven't we? The fire will keep growing hotter. Just like more wood to fire, the flames will grow stronger. If what we use our tongues for is simply to hurt others, that is not going to help a thing. And sometimes we miss the point as Christians, and we think we are self-righteous by speaking out loudly when we don't realize we're actually being contentious. That's how deceitful our flesh can be. We think we're being righteous. All right, honey, husbands and wives, I can see you don't understand what I'm saying, so I'm going to let you know right now what I think. What a big mistake. Tongue starts to become contentious and will kindle strife. Now, wives, goes the same way. All right, I've held this in for long enough. Now I'm going to let it out. And now I'm going to tell you what I really think about you not doing the dishes, for example. Now I'm going to tell you what I really think. I'm not talking about my wife, by the way. Now I'm going to tell you what I really think about this problem. I'm just going to let it out. And we think it's self-righteous, don't we? We think we have a right to get angry. We think because we feel that way, it's okay to express it with our tongue. Guess what? God says your tongue is set on fire from hell. And you are going to destroy that relationship. You will sow seeds of destruction in your household, in your children's lives, and in your marriage. Friends, contention is not self-righteous. Is not righteous. It is self-righteous. It is not God's blessing upon your speech. It is angry. It is angry. You know, sometimes we think, okay, if I just get a bit angrier, they're going to get the message. Isn't that true? All right, I feel angry right now. Got to let it out. Just got to do it. Do you realize that that, again, is not a yearning or a desire sent from God? It is of the flesh. Now, as husbands and wives, praise God, as believers, we can forgive one another because we've all said things we shouldn't have. And when we have, we've realized, wow, I wish I never would have said that. Thank God we can forgive one another. But it would have been better in the first place if we did not let contention out of our mouths. Would you agree? Sorry. It would have been better if we did not express our anger to that one who offended us. That we take it to the Lord and deal with it first and understand that anger is not of the Lord. And to understand that God would not have us to communicate whilst that anger is in our heart. We are to deal with our issues spiritually, not selfishly. And anger is selfish. Something happened to me that I didn't like. So now I'm going to take revenge. And how do we take revenge? By getting angry. That's what we do. That's what we do in our flesh. We get angry. That's how we take revenge. It's selfish. It's carnal. And God says it is from the pit. It's not from God. What a wonderful joy it is to be a witness. But what a tragedy it is when our tongue is used for destruction. The flames of contention. The flames of contention. Well, what is the solution? Notice Proverbs 17 and verse 14. In each of these flames, we see the problem and then we see the solution. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 14. The Bible says the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, what are the next words? Leave off contention before it be meddled with. Wow, what a wonderful verse. God says when you open a tap, the water will just start flowing. Stronger than it did when the tap was closed. Is that correct? And before you know it, strife is going to flow out. Problems are going to multiply. And just like when letting out water, the same is with contention. The same is with contention. Therefore, don't turn that tap on. Amen? Don't turn it on. If you are angry, you need to take it to the Lord. Amen? And you need to put away anger. You need to not meddle with this kind of flame. Because this kind of flame is destructive, brethren. It'll destroy our homes, destroy our friendships, it'll destroy families. Perhaps you've seen this flame in action, and you've seen the destruction that it can cause. Contention in the church will rip apart what God's seeking to do in the witness of that church. You know, so often we warn about the apostasy of the day, and rightly so. Friends, there is great deceitfulness and wickedness. God wants us to be established in the faith, in the Word of God, in the house of God, so that we won't be tossed to and fro. We need to be on guard for false doctrine. But there is also a danger without and a danger within. There is a danger within, and it's the most sensitive member in our mouths. And that is our tongue. That is our tongue. The flames of contention. The flames of contention. The Bible says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." We need to be slow to anger. Amen. We need to be slow to speak. That's wisdom from the Word of God. Let's get some wisdom tonight, brethren. Let's get some wisdom from God's Word. Don't speak the first thing that's on your mind. Okay? You might say, "Well, that's how I am." No, that is not true. If you are the child of God, that is how your flesh is, that has been crucified in Christ. And the Bible says, as the Apostle Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Friends, if we have the Holy Spirit of God, we can walk in the Spirit. We can say no to the sinful flesh, and we can have a new way of speaking. You know, culture is not an excuse for the way, for fueling the flames of contention. Well, this is how we speak in our culture. Might sound rough, but that's how we speak. Well, that's not an excuse either. You see, when we're born again, we have a brand new culture. And it's called the Christian culture. And our home is not here, my friend. We have a better country that is in heavenly, and that's where our home is. And the language we ought to speak as God's people is a heavenly language. And that means our tongue ought not to show forth cursing and contention, but it ought to show forth praise and blessing. What an amazing statement from Acts chapter 2 this morning. I still can't get around my head around it. They had favour with what? All people. They had favour with all people. Praising God. Witnessing for God. They had favour with all people. I dare say the church in Jerusalem had a good testimony. Amen? Favour with all people. Now, so often we take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Our tongue will destroy the flames of contention. Ephesians 4, we don't need to turn there, but the Bible says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." If there is an issue that is stirring up anger, you need to deal with it first. Because verse 27 says, "Neither give place to the devil." Neither give place to the devil. If you don't deal with your anger quickly, guess who's going to get the advantage? That tongue is not from God. Your tongue is not being blessed of the Lord. No, that is a tongue set on fire from hell. And we need to, if we've been hurt in a Christ-like manner, we need to seek the one who's said that hurt and forgive one another. Amen? We need to be forgiving, not stirring. Forgiving. As coals are to burning coals. If you want that fire to burn stronger, well then just keep getting angry. All right? Parents, you're going to get angry with your kids. They're going to make you angry. Sooner or later, they're going to make you angry. Is that right? You can say amen. They're going to make you angry. But that doesn't justify you and I losing it in front of them, to them. You cannot justify sinful anger as righteousness. You cannot. We need to be careful in how we deal with our children. We need to not give place to wrath. If we correct our children, it ought to be in love and correction, not in anger and frustration. Now, as I said to my wife on the way to church this evening, here in the city of Cairns, you and I as Christians are wonderfully blessed because we have a greater opportunity for sanctification than many people around the world because of this oppressive heat during the summertime. And you could say amen. You know, our flesh gets more irritated in the heat. Our fuse is a little bit shorter in the heat, but that's the flesh. And when God shows something in your life and mine that gets ticked off by the heat, well, there's an area to deal with. Amen? There's an area to grow in. I know I'm being plain in how I'm saying these things, but there's an area for us to be sanctified in. We ought to say, thank you, Lord, for showing me that I've got a temper. And a temper will destroy a home. A temper will send our children fleeing from the home in rebellion. We will provoke them to wrath by our wrath. Is that correct? Are we listening this evening? Amen. That's what will happen. A contentious tongue. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. That's the only way I can get their attention. That's not true. That's not true. What about prayer, parents? What about looking to God to work a supernatural change in their heart? What about praying for them? What about communicating clearly? You know, there is another option to anger, and that's clear communication. Amen? That's the solution. Put anger away. Don't give place to the devil, because fighting and arguing will only fuel the flames and blow out into strife. All right, the flames of gossip, the flames of contention, and lastly, the flames of lying. The flames of lying. As we close this evening, we close with a flame set on fire from hell that so often we don't think is such a big matter. Proverbs 26 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 28. The Bible says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Lying is the same as flattery. When you flatter someone, you're lying. If you're speaking the truth, that's a compliment. But if you're flattering someone, that is deceitful in order to manipulate them. And lying is not a gift, it is a curse. Lying is not from God, it is from the pit of hell. Why do we lie? To get what we want, ultimately. That's what lying is. Lying is selfish. And the world wants to convince you and I that you have to lie. And actually the world has. It's sugar-coated. What color is sugar? White. They're just white little lies. That's all they are. Harmful little lies. And look, you have to say them sometimes. Because if you say that which is honest, that might hurt someone. Well, do you know that that is not biblical either, just being honest? Honesty is the best policy. You won't find that in the Bible. That which honors God is the best policy. Amen? That which the Lord is glorified with is the best policy. You and I can use our words to glorify the Lord, but lying can cause great damage. It hateth those that are afflicted. That means lying will hurt others. Young people, you might think that you can tell a lie and get away with it, but that's not true. The Bible says a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. You see, this kind of flame you can't run away from. Once you light it, it's going to chase you down. Behold, your sin shall find you out. It will hurt others. We remember the destruction that happened in the life of Abraham. Now, do you remember Abraham when there was a famine in the land? And Abraham went to Egypt to look for some food. And we could say, by a matter of speaking, that he inflamed the nation of Egypt with his tongue. Didn't he? Absolutely. He went into Egypt and he said to his wife, Sarah, because you're a woman that is so beautiful to look upon, I'm afraid that the Egyptians will take you away and kill me in order to have you. So you're going to pretend to be my sister. And what happened? Well, she was taken away. And the Bible tells us that God cursed the house of Pharaoh with a plague, and Abraham's sin was found out. Abraham's sin was found out. And what was the tragedy of that moment in Abraham's life? Well, he ruined his testimony in that land. Here is the father of faith. See, none of us are perfect, but his example is one to learn from. Here is the father of faith, and he had no opportunity to proclaim the faith to a people that desperately needed to hear about the one true living God. He lied. And things did not become better. Things did not advance for the glory of God's kingdom. In fact, as you know, the nation was plagued. And Pharaoh said to Abraham, "Why did you do this to me? Why didn't you just tell the truth? Why did you lie?" Well, we know she was his half-sister, but that's a half-lie. Amen? That's what it is. And so Abraham should have spoken the truth. He ruined his witness. And brethren, if we are in the habit of lying, that's what lying is. Again, it's like a flame. Once you lie some more, it's like adding wood to the fire. It just grows stronger in your life and mine. And we begin to accept the lies we are telling are in fact somehow true. Somehow not as bad to God. Sin blinds us, does it not? Sin hardens our heart. If we become a habitual liar, we will ruin our testimony for God. We will ruin it. We will ruin it. So lying shouldn't be tolerated in our homes. Lying shouldn't be tolerated in our church. Lying shouldn't be tolerated by our tongues. Now, what is the solution? What is God's wisdom for a lying tongue? Notice Proverbs 17 and verse 4. An interesting thought here in Proverbs 17 and verse 4. Now stay with me, we're nearing the end. Verse number 4. The Bible says, "A wicked doer giveth heed to what? False lips. And a liar giveth ear to what? A naughty tongue." If you want to seek God's help in this area of using your tongue for lying, then first of all, stay away from liars. Yeah. Amen? Evil communication corrupts what? Good manners. You will become like those you hang around with, young people. If your friends are liars, guess what? You're next. That's what the Bible says. If you give heed to a lying tongue, if you listen to what the wicked are saying, that will be lies sown in your heart. And then you will speak forth lies with your tongue. So we need to not add fuel to a lying tongue by spending time with those that gossip and those that lie. If your friends are liars, get some new friends. There's some wisdom from God before you go down that path of destruction. If those friends are Christians, then you need to rebuke them in love and say, "Hey, look, that's a lie, brother. That was a lie." And a spirit-filled brother or sister will say, "Forgive me, I'm sorry. You're right." There are times that we will use our tongue for evil. This message is not about being sinless. We will never be sinless until we see the Lord in glory. Amen? But the Bible says that we need to grow, be sanctified, be changed. And that has a lot to do with how we use our tongue. The tongue of lying. Friendships. But then there are the philosophies of the world. You might say, "Hey, my friends are mostly Christian friends." But what about your friends on TV? What about your friends on the cinema screen? What about your friends on the internet that spread this philosophy of the world that lying is okay? They lie about themselves. They lie about others. And hey, if they lie about others, guess what? They're probably lying about you too. Good friends. What about the characters on TV and the TV shows? You know, when I was growing up, and don't get shocked, in the 80s and in the 90s, all of the movies that I watched before I was saved had the same philosophy, that the rebellious teenager, the one who skips school, the one who goes out for a great time on the town and has a great day and fools the principal and fools their parents, wins at the end of the day. Yes. He wins. He's the hero of the movie. Now, some of you adults are nodding your head. How many rebellious movies were made in the 80s? And in the past, I don't know what they're showing today. I dare say it's worse. Lying. And they're idolized and lifted up and saying, well, if you want to be popular, if you want to be successful, then just you need to perfect this art of deceitfulness. That's what the world is plugging into your children's ears, parents, when they listen to the music of the world. That is live streaming through their eyes on the internet. That is what is being projected with broadband force into their very minds on the television. Lying. That's the philosophy of the world. And what does God say? That lying is an abomination. The most grotesque, despiteful word is used by God to describe this sin of lying. Of lying. Would you agree that that's serious? It's serious. So let us not fan the flames of gossiping, contention, and lying. If we want to speak forth the truth of God, then let our minds and our hearts and our mouths be filled with what? The Word of God. Romans chapter 12. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I've got a lot of junk in my mind, and it's got to go. Amen. What about you? A lot of junk. I've memorized whole scenes of movies before I got saved, and I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed of it. But what I want to do now is memorize the Word of God. So when filthy thoughts and deceitful thoughts come up within my own very being from my sinful flesh, I want to cut it down with the sword of the Word of God. I want to get rid of it because it's destructive. It'll destroy my ministry. It'll destroy my family. It'll destroy my witness in this community. What about you? Friends, we can't afford to let lying continue in this church. We can't afford to let gossiping continue. We can't afford to let contention continue. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the tongue set on fire from hell is destruction, barrenness, wounds. And brethren, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. Amen? Let's not be the next one to throw another log of wood on the fire. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Let's choose the blessing. Amen. To bless the Lord. And when something does come out, seek forgiveness for the one you've offended. The Lord, the one who's been hurt in a Christ-like manner for the glory of God. Have we gotten some wisdom tonight? Yes or no? If not, we have to start again from the beginning. I'm glad you said yes. Amen. That's one thing to hear the Word of God. But this week, the flesh will light a spark and it'll come out of nowhere. And you have to choose what you're going to do with that sinful flesh. Are you going to add wood to the fire, coals to the flame? Or are you going to leave off contention before it be meddled with? Let me encourage you. You can say no to the sinful flesh. You can say yes to God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Spend time in God's Word. Ladies, write down a new verse on that little chalkboard that you got at the Ladies' Fellowship. Memorize the Word of God. Amen? Put it into your mind. Because the world is going to say, if you want to get further in your career, young people, you need a lie. You need a lie on your resume, make it sound a little bit better. You need a lie at workplace to the reason why you're really late. You slept in. The car didn't break down at all. You need a lie to get further in life. And God says, you've just bought into the lie of the devil to sow destruction in those relationships. Let's trust God and believe that He will honour the truth and will use us for greater matters in the days ahead.